Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Today on the Mountain Grapevine program, we are honored to be down at the Parker Benz Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina. We're going to be talking with Karen Parker Benz, who's the owner and winemaker of the Parker Benz Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina. So, Karen, welcome to the radio program, and tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you come from? What kinds of things have you done in the past? How did you get to be here as winemaker of the Parker Benz Vineyard?
Well, thank you, Chuck, and thank you for taking time to interview me. Well, this could be a long story because I'm a senior citizen. How did I get here? Basically, my husband and I were tree farmers in Florida for many years, probably 20 years before we came to North Carolina. Before that, we were in the bar and restaurant business, and so we've had like quite an interesting arrangement of entrepreneurship. My husband had always wanted to do a vineyard. I had like read about it, and I thought, in retirement, I don't know, it looks like a lot of work. Well, guess what? It is a lot of work, but it also is a hobby out of control. And once you get going, your passion is so deep that you just keep going and going and going.
But it's interesting that you came from the background of the restaurant bar business and certainly in the tree farming.
When I started reading about the vineyard, I said, oh my God, do you know how much work that is, Bob? And I said, it's not like we're spring chickens. We're old. And my husband was actually 72 when we started the vineyard.
And how long ago was that?
That was 8 years ago. So he's 80 now.
Wow.
And he does not get a pink slip. I still put him on the tractor. He still helps pull grapes. I mean, that's how you stay young, I think.
He doesn't get a pass. Well, you know, I just turned 75 on my birthday last week, so my wife and I have the same feeling up there. We just work so hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, you sit down at your place and you have a glass of wine. You look over what you've done for the day and say, hey, you know, that was good. That was fun. You sleep well. You don't really have any aggravations to speak about. And it's all worthwhile at the end of the day. So I like the no pink slip thing. That's good. I like to think of ourselves as seasoned citizens instead of senior citizens.
Oh, I like that too. I do.
That doesn't denote the age.
Well, I'll tell you, I can still get out and give a good day's work in the vineyard, which I do many, many days, because I am one of the first ones to say I think wine begins in the vineyard. I went to Bowling Green State University, and I know they don't call them home ec majors anymore, so I'm definitely dating myself. But I was always interested in food, nutrition, sewing, crafts, because there's really a lot of craftspeople. Now we've found there's so many people that are interested in farm-to-fork meals. It's just a very earthy place to live. I love that because South Florida had gotten way too busy, and this is like a relaxed atmosphere. And I feel that everyone should allow themselves to be relaxed.
Yeah, it's important, I think, at our farm, too. We look at it the same way. It's just so busy. I lived in Phoenix for a long time. Jeannie and I lived in Chicago for a while. And the big city is just not for us. I mean, I've been there, done that. And now it's just very, very calming, very relaxing. I like to say we have peace and tranquility on our vineyard, and I'm sure you have the same thing here.
Oh, well, let me tell you. I walk out in the morning, I get on my deck, I look down at the vineyard, I look at the mountains, and I pinch myself and say, oh, how lucky you are to be here, because what we have really created here is a beautiful place. I mean, we cleared the land, we've done everything here. We put in all the infrastructure, and we are so proud of what we've done.
It's a beautiful place. And as we sit speaking, I'm looking out the windows here at your gorgeous vineyard. It looks rather like a very well manicured picture. I mean, it's just beautiful. So those of you who haven't had the chance to come down to Parker Benz Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina, you should give it a shot. This is really quite a beautiful place. And of course, we just came across from the winery over there in the tasting room. Very nice. I have to say that it's very comfortable there, very inviting. You've got a lot of people browsing in and out. Today was your pizza day where you're serving pizza and having people come in.
So it is. It's a very, very enjoyable, relaxing spot. Now, notice when we came up the hill to your home, where we're actually overlooking the vineyard and having interviewed, that you talked about an outbuilding here that you're working on now. What was that building?
Well, that's our new event center, mm-hmm. and I really am calling it the barn at Parker Benz. And this is a new building with layers of decks. It's going to have an outside bar. That's not happened yet, but it's for weddings. It's for corporate dinners. We have a commercial kitchen that we've put in it. It's almost ready to go. In fact, we're going for a CO like really quick, like next week. And it's going to be a beautiful place. It overlooks the vineyard. We've already booked several weddings. We've got meetings. It's a way that we can incorporate my daughter and son-in-law who have moved here from Connecticut to join us and help us because, like I said, the place grew much quicker and faster than we thought, and we needed the help. This is family-oriented. We wanted to keep it family. We all work together. We are all a part of what's going on here. So I can't really take the credit for... Yes, I do make the wine, but we all make the wine because we all take part in the vineyard. We all take part in the tasting room. My daughter today is making homemade pizzas, which we do on Sunday Fun Day at Parker Benz. So it's a family thing.
What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's Kelly.
She was the one passing out the pizza over there a while ago while we were tasting?
Yes, and she makes her own homemade dough. Ooh. And she gets that oven fired up. We have a brick oven on premises that is wood-fired that we built, and it was for personal use. And then I said, well, why not do some pizzas?
Nice idea. I know we like going out for pizza from time to time, but this is sort of an extra treat. You can sit here and enjoy your view and have some pizza that's made right there while you're watching if you want. And it's quite tasty, I have to say.
Oh, yeah. It's turned Sunday into a very popular day. And it brings out a lot of local people in the area. And let me tell you, when you get tourists, they are always delighted to have a free pizza because, let's face it, free is very competitive.
Yes, it is. It's a good price. I like it.
And it goes perfect with the wine.
Yes, I noticed that you also had a batch of sangria mixed down there. Tell me about a little bit about that. How'd that start?
Oh, the sangria. The sangria is fun. And everybody knows North Carolina gets some very hot summers. So we started doing the sangria because it was so hot and people, you know, I'll tell you, a lot of times you drink wine out in the sun. If you're going to hang out, you need it to be not quite so strong, which is why we got into doing the sangria. We make it light and fruity and people can enjoy it and sit there and have more than one or two glasses and still get on the road.
Well, I think that large container of sangria is very appealing over there, and I can see on a hot day that that'd be just the ticket. I hadn't had a chance to taste that one yet today, but maybe next time I'll get a chance to get at that if it's a little bit warmer. We've talked about where you came from and how you got started into building a vineyard here. Tell me a little bit about the types of grapes you have and how big the vineyard is and the stages that you went through and the thought process on choosing your grapes.
Let me say, we have about 40 acres now, but we started only with 10 acres originally. Mm-hmm. And we have 9 acres in vines. Not all of them are producing right now because every year we seem to add 1 or 2 acres. And I've just cleared an area to add 2 more acres next year. We grow Chardonnay, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Muscat, Petite Mansang, and I do grow one American hybrid, Chamberson. If I was to do it over, I may not grow quite so many varieties because I was telling Chuck earlier, I think you need to concentrate maybe on 3 or 4 varieties and have more of them. That's why I've had to keep increasing my amount of acreage.
If you were to take a look at the vineyard, you've got 9 acres under vine with the various varieties you've told us about here. Those are certainly very popular ones and ones that we know will grow reasonably well in this area. If you were to say, okay, we've done this vineyard over the past couple of years, and here's what we've done, and if you were to say, here's what we did right, and here's what we would have done differently, what would those things be? You've already talked about having fewer varieties and more of them, but what other mistakes would you say that you could avoid if you had to do it again?
You know, you always learn from your mistakes.
Absolutely, we all do.
I would say, for one thing, we would have probably eliminated some of the areas that we're growing in. I do have one area that is lower, and it's more problematic.
Is that because of frost or what?
Well, that, and it just holds too much water.
Ah.
And we all know that grapes do not like water. If I had known in the beginning, I would have probably bought, instead of 10 acres, 20 acres. And I would have planted more of my vines up higher. But originally, I had the original 10 acres. So it was on a slope. But what I have added in additional acreage is more of a slope. And that slope is good.
Yes.
Let me tell you that.
Yes.
Slope is good.
Well, everybody here in the mountains at least have figured out that most grapes that grow here don't like wet feet. Of course, you're down here in the Piedmont area, which is nice, but we've got, you know, up in the mountains at 2,100, 3,000 feet. Most of the vineyards up there are the small. 4 acres is a big vineyard where we are up in Madison County. And its own slope is about 45 degrees. So we can't use machinery, tractors, and so forth to farm up there with the grapes. Do you have any other items that you would say these are the things that we did right?
We definitely did right in the beautiful area of Polk County. I mean, I have to say, it's God's country. Everywhere you look, it is just so beautiful. One thing I will say, if you build a winery, plan it. Because I build a building. I never, you know, it just got going. What can I say? One thing leads to another. I never intended to be anything more than a grape grower. And to have a little bit for personal winemaking. And as it turned out, we got carried away, put in way too many grapes for personal use, and all of a sudden, we are grape growers. But the one thing, that's fine for the first 3 years, because you just grow the grapes, and you're a happy little moron, and you're out there every day checking them and doing everything you need to do, the pruning, the leaf pulling, all this stuff. But at some point, you get grapes, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do with them. So the first year we had grapes was, we started our vineyard in 2008. And we had intended probably to sell to the Biltmore. We had talked to them, and that's how we got some of the varieties that we do grow. We rounded up the usual characters of the area, and that's what we planted.
Okay.
And it's worked out very well for us, because I must say, everything that I grow does make a nice wine.
Well, I know that the phrase that you used earlier today was a hobby out of control. That's sort of where we are too. And we're just going to be grape growers. That's the plan at the moment. But now that we see how you've done this, we have to wait and see. At this point, Karen, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. So hang on, folks. We've been talking with Karen Parker Benz of the Parker Benz Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina. She is the owner and winemaker here at the vineyard, and we're going to be talking about some specific wines when we get back, so just hang on for a few.
The sponsor for today's program is Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator. Most housing in the mountains of western North Carolina is made out of wood, either log cabins or sawmill slab-sided stick-built homes. Only two kinds of housing here in the mountains, those that have termites and those that will have termites. This universal problem stuck in the mind of Teddy Tanglefoot. After fighting them for years and calling commercial pest control companies to the mountains, he decided to take the thing into his own hands. He had observed that termites tended to be nocturnal critters. He also knew that they preferred soft wood to hardwood. So Teddy began thinking about a way to defeat termites using their characteristics against them. He began with soft basswood sawdust to make his concoction attractive to the termites. He used a hammer to beat the sawdust into a powder. Next, he caught a jar of lightning bugs, fireflies for you city folks. He took one at a time out of the jar and squashed them just as they lit up. He then mixed the luminescent squeezings with his basswood powder. He found an old wringer washing machine at the dump and stripped off the wringer portion. He placed it on the ground next to his house and used an old rain gutter to make a ramp up to the wringer. He made a trail of his glowing basswood paste in the middle of the rain gutter from the ground to the ringers. After dark, the glowing trail with the basswood was just too good a tasty meal for the termites to pass up, so they began eating their way up the gutter ramp. Once they made it to the top of the rain gutter ramp, they walked into the ringer rollers and were instantly terminated. Teddy was thrilled. He had solved his termite problem for good. His neighbor saw his termite terminator invention and wanted one for their house. Teddy was in business. Just so you know, there have been a few complaints now and then. A few folks have caught skunks in the ringer and they've pursued the termites up the ramp. Nasty, stinky business getting the skunk removed from the ringers. And then there was Aunt Bessie's pet dog, whose curiosity led him to his demise in her ringers last fall. Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator is another special product made in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our program.
Welcome back, folks. We've been talking with Karen Parker Benz of the Parker Benz Vineyard. Karen is the owner and winemaker at Parker Benz Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina. We strongly urge those of you who are in with their listening range to come on down and enjoy some of their wonderful wines. And while you're at it, enjoy some of the free pizza that they do here on Sunday afternoons in their nice tasting area and the outside patio. So let's talk about some of the specific things that you're doing here, Karen. For example, we know that you had two wines this year that won gold medals. You had the Rose Merlot, which won a double gold, and the Loco Lulu, which is a soft red wine that's made of a blend of several different wines, that won a gold medal at the Asheville Wine and Food Festival. I'd like to hear about how you came to make those two wines. Lay it on us technically, what the thought process was behind the Rose Merlot and the Loco Lulu.
Well, the rosé that I made from my Merlot was just one of those wines. Like, when I pressed it, the color was perfect. We pressed the grapes, we pulled the grapes, we pressed them. I took them off at about 19 bricks. I thought that was, like, good. It still had the nice acidity in it. I used a yeast strand that I absolutely love. And that has a lot to do with what you're going to get. You have to take into consideration the amount of sunshine days you've had, what your weather is like, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of different yeast strands that you can try. And you need to study them and think, have a plan in your head what you want to achieve. With that wine, I wanted something really crispy at the finish. I wanted something very aromatic. It was one of those wines that from the time that it went through fermentation, it didn't need anything. I did it in stainless. It went in a tank. I let it settle out. I didn't even find it. It just was, sometimes it happens.
It just came out right.
There are wines that need to be tweaked. There are wines that don't need anything. I made a Chardonnay 2 years ago that was absolutely the same way. From the time that I tasted it, through fermentation and after it got through fermentation. And that's one thing you need to be doing. You need to taste through fermentation at every step, because you start really developing a taste for what you want and what you want to achieve.
Well, I noticed on the rosé, there were two things that you were talking about. Number one, that I'm curious about, and the radio listeners might be interested too. You said you would pick the Merlot when it was 19 bricks. I thought that here in North Carolina, most red grapes are typically picked around 21 to 23. You say you picked it at 19 bricks. That seemed a little light on the bricks.
I will say on my field, I find like pH on my grapes. On this field, I don't know. I get higher pH than I would like. So if I'm going to do a rosé, I want to take it off when it still has a pH that I want to work with.
Okay, so you're around 3?
3?
Is that what? No.
I was about at 3.3 on that. 3.3.
Oh, 3.3. Okay.
This field, and I monitor it constantly, but I do get higher pH.
And you also talked about the yeast. Do you use liquid yeast or dry yeast?
I use active dry yeast. Okay. I always do. And I always use, let me tell you this, I always feed my yeast. I always hydrate it. I don't want to have a stuck fermentation, so I just am, I'm a new winemaker. I don't like problems. I do everything I can to keep that yeast happy.
Well, I know our radio audience is probably not familiar with the fact that there are just practically hundreds of different types of yeasts, but also that in the winemaker's kit, there's over 200 different additives and so forth that you can use to make the wines. Where did you go to school? Where did you learn to make wine?
I've taken a few crash courses. I took a few at Cornell on a weekend. I took a couple courses in Napa College on a weekend. The first time we made wine at our vineyard, we did not have a winery. And I used to work over at Over Mountain with Frank, go over there. I helped him in his tasting room. I helped him in his winery. I kind of got in his back pocket and figured out, you know, what to do and what not to do. I read a lot. I've taken some courses at Siri, but let me tell you, most of it is, there is nothing like just getting in and doing it. And I will tell you, it's that way in the vineyard. It was that way in the tree farming business. When you're out there and you get connected with the grapes, you seem to get a feeling that you know what you want to do. And it's the same way in the winery, and I'm doing it with my son-in-law, Stephen, now. He is like working with me every day in the winery that we work. He's getting the feel for it. I will tell you one thing, I'm a pretty good cook. I have very good taste buds. That's something that not everybody has.
That's true.
And it's something that is very key in tasting. And I go around and I smell everything in the grocery store, all the fresh fruit, all the fresh vegetables, go around in the vineyard smelling everything, because the more that you can teach yourself, your nose is probably your keenest sense, and it tells you what you're going to taste.
Yeah, we've had some conversations with some other chefs and other winemakers, and one of the things we talked about is Americans, most Americans, generally speaking, don't really know how their nose works, and they don't know how their taste buds work. And I used to teach wine evaluation classes out in Scottsdale, Arizona in years past, and I would tell our students to go over to the fruit and vegetable section in the store, blindfold themselves, and have their wife or spouse hold up the thing under the nose to see if they could identify it. And they would do this. And every time I go over there, the... After a class, the store manager comes over and says, "Well, Chuck," he says, "Steve had another class over there." He says, "I had four people last night blindfolded here sniffing all of my fruits and vegetables."
But that's a great way.
It is. And that's why I did it as
and
a
homework
thing.
And you can develop
it. Yes, you can.
I mean, you can develop your taste buds, but it is something every winemaker needs to do, because there's nothing like tasting, and there's nothing like being, and I tell everyone says, what's the key? I get a lot of people that like most of my wines, and they'll say, "Gee, how come your wines are all, they taste like this, or they're good?" I tell them, I am a minimalist in the winery. I find as little as possible. I hardly ever filter. I grow good, clean fruit. Wine begins in the vineyard.
Absolutely.
And anybody that thinks it doesn't, and if you're not in touch with the vineyard and you're not out there smelling and tasting and chewing seeds, and you're not going to know what you're going to make.
It's a fact in the business that everybody knows in the business, you can't make good wine out of crappy grapes. You just can't. So it all starts in the soil, in the vineyard. Let me ask you a question real quickly about the Lokalulu, which is the other wine that won a gold medal in the Asheville Wine and Food Festival this year. That was a blend of Cab Franc, Cab Sauvignon, and Merlot, and so forth. How do you pick which ones you want to blend together, and how do you decide which percentage of what to put in there?
Well, you know what? I go out, I get 100 milliliters of everything, that of every barrel that I'm working with, and I just am like a mad scientist. I measure it out, I do different different glasses, I taste, and you know, when I hit on one that I really like or I think I'm close, I'll work it really close. But there's no way like tasting. That's how you have to do it.
So you actually do the tasting?
I do.
Have other people taste with you?
I do, but I always go on my own opinion.
Well, you know what you're trying to get to. Sure.
Yes. And a lot of times, I run it by everybody here.
Yep.
My son-in-law Steven's developing very good taste buds. My husband is the best one to push a red by, because he loves red wine, and he likes all red wine. And my preference is, I'm more of a white wine drinker and rosé, but you know, it's like anything else. You don't always make what you like.
Clearly, if you're in a commercial vineyard like you are, and at winery, you've got to be able to make what is selling. From the way your wine tasting room is going today, it looks like people like what you've got. Because I saw a lot of bottles going out of there today.
Well, I try to do a variety. I do both sweet and dry, but I tell everybody that comes in to taste, You know, you're tasting everything from our vineyard. It isn't, except for our blackberry, and we do a blackberry that's 100%, but all the grapes is from our vineyard. I try to hit on mid-palate because I think the extremes on both sides, sweet and dry, there are very few people that fit that bill. And more people are more mid-palate. So that's what I try to hit on.
Well, I think you've done an excellent job on that. I tasted the Merlot today and have to say that was very, very delightful. Quite nice. One of the best I've tasted anywhere. So you've clearly hit the sweet spot for a number of your wines. At this point in time, Karen, can you give me an idea of what we can tell the radio audience? If they want to come down and try your wines and enjoy some of your pizza on a Sunday, how do they get in contact with you, the vineyard? You have websites, Facebook, email addresses, phone numbers. How's that all work?
We have all of that.
Okay.
We have a very good Facebook presence. It's Parker Binns Vineyard. We have a website, parkerbinnsvineyard.com.
Is it hyphenated?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But not my email is not, but my website is.
Okay.
We are located in Polk County on 108. Our tasting room hours are from Thursday through Sunday from 12 to 6. Or by appointment, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 828-894-0154. Someone will get back with you. You can email us straight from our website. You will be tasting at least 7 wines every day. Come see us. On Sunday, we have free pizza. We do it in our brick oven. We have animals here. We have 2 miniature donkeys. We have 1 llama, 2 alpacas. We have chickens. We have goats. So we have a family thing going on. We are a dog-friendly vineyard. We have 2 wines we do for our dog, who gives $1 of every bottle to Lenny's kids because she was a rescue. We are family-oriented. You will not see anyone here behind the bar that is not family. Everyone seems to, you're only a stranger here once. I have to say, we get a friendly crowd, and everybody seems to interact with each other, and it makes for a great place to just hang out and have some fun. And the one thing I would really like to tell people is wine is very social. You're meant to have fun with it. Don't take it so serious. Have a good time with it. And I tell people that come in the tasting room, there is a story that goes in every bottle we make. And some of these stories can get kind of ugly because different things happen at different times. So we have a story about our bottle. But when you buy a bottle or share a bottle with someone, there's another story. And that is the time and the memories you make with that bottle. So that's why I say have a good time with it.
Well, Karen, we really appreciate your taking time to spend with us on our radio show today. Certainly, people out in the audience will want to come down and enjoy some of your wines and some of that free pizza on Sunday. And you've given the contact information there. We've been talking today with Karen Parker Binns, the Parker Binns Vineyard in Mill Spring, North Carolina. So, Karen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Chuck.
We appreciate it very much. Thanks, folks. That'll call that a wrap for today's program.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!